impact of everyone being at home. And so I just, the Lord put on my heart that praying in these days is so important. And so why don't we start with reading from the Word? If we could turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. So this is again right after Solomon finishes the temple, and they bring the ark into the temple, and all of the servants of the house all fall down because the glory of the Lord fills the temple. And then Solomon prays in verse 28, "Yet have regard to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prays before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, to listen to the prayer which thy servant shall pray toward this place." And then if we can read from 37, we'll just read a couple of verses. "If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, if there is blight or mildew, locust or grasshopper, if their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer or supplication is made by any man or by all thy people Israel, each knowing the affliction of his own heart and spreading his hands towards this house, then hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive and act and render to each according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou alone dost know the heart of all the sons of men." And then if we could turn to verse 59. "And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his people Israel." I'm sorry, "but that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires." And then if we can turn to Nehemiah, many generations later. This is Nehemiah chapter 2. And verse 3. And so Nehemiah is thinking back towards this house that Solomon had prayed over. And Nehemiah says to the king, "And I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What would you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." So if we could bow for another prayer. Lord, our hearts turn this morning towards our home. Lord, we turn our hearts to you. Lord, we thank you that you are always there, and as been shared this morning, you are our advocate. You are our high priest. And so, Lord, we turn our hearts to you. Lord, we pray that in these days that our prayers would be able to reach to your ears. And Lord, we know that you hear. And Lord, we know that you act. So we thank you, Lord. Be with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, this morning, regarding this particular passage that I read, I was thinking of prayer. And the reason is that last week, the chaplain at our hospital, he retired. You would like him. He's been a chaplain there, I think, for 40 years in the cancer hospital and in the And I remember vividly one year when I went to see a patient who wasn't doing well, and I knew that his days were probably not so many. As I came downstairs, I happened to bump into him. And I said, Reverend, there's a patient who's upstairs who's not doing well, and I think they could use a little prayer. And so he said, I'll go up and I'll pray with them. And he did. And the thing that's marvelous in some way about the hospital, and especially a cancer hospital, is it's very different from the world. If we were to go onto the world and say to someone randomly, can I pray for you? That our welcome may not be so warm, though on some occasions I think maybe people are so in need. But in our hospital, when people say that, it's very often people say, I would really appreciate that. And even just a couple weeks ago, we had a brother in our fellowship who was very ill, and he was in the hospital, and he was going downstairs for a procedure. And the nurse said to him before he went, can I pray for you? He said, yes, please. There's a time in this world where prayer becomes very valuable. And so the Lord put it on my heart to share about praying today, and specifically about praying towards someone. And we remember that in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord sort of, he described our prayer room in our heart. And that prayer room has a door. The door opens and closes. And the Lord said to close the door of your heart, the secret place, and pray towards God. And that is to say that he was saying, this is a secret place where no one else comes. It's you and it's me. And when you pray towards with direction. And so today I'd like to share about that. And we start in the story in 1 Kings chapter 8 when Solomon finished building the temple. And if you remember, when he finished building the temple, they had brought the ark in, as we had mentioned, and everyone fell on their face. And then Solomon began to pray. And what he was praying was, this house, might it be a place where we turn our heads and our hearts when we need to pray and when we need to be heard. And then if you still have your Bibles open to 1 Kings chapter 8, he prays this an introductory prayer, and then he continues to pray, and he prays six times. He starts with a condition, if or when, and then he prays a conclusion, then Lord, do something. So if we start in verse 31, if a man sins against his neighbor and he comes and he takes an oath before this altar, then here in verse 32. And then in verse 33, he says, when your people are defeated before an enemy because we have sinned, and if we turn to you again and confess your name and pray, then here. And then in verse 35, when the heavens are shut and there's a drought because we have sinned, and if we turned and we pray towards this place and confess your name and turn from our sins, then hear. And the one I wanted to focus on, there's six of them in total, but the fourth one starts in verse 37. If there is a plague or if there's sickness, and whatever prayer that we make, by one man or by all of your people, then hear in heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and act. And then in verse 44, when we go out to battle and we turn and we pray to the Lord toward this city, then hear in heaven. And then I love at the end of verse 45, maintain their cause. And then verse 46, the last one, when we sinned against you, and then when we turn again, then in verse 39, And then in verse 49, then hear their prayers and their supplication and maintain their cause. And so what happens is he's finished building this house, and he's telling us that whenever we fall into danger and we need him, then we need to turn. We need to hurl our prayer towards heaven, towards home. And then he will hear, and then he will act. In fact, when we look at all six of those prayers that he made, they all follow this same pattern. It starts with if or when we are in trouble. And then we pray. I'm sorry, and then we turn. And then we pray. And then he hears. And then he acts. And over again, Solomon prays this. And so it must be true for us back then as it today as it was back then. And so if we could, might we go through these five steps and see how it was made real to a generation later, as well as to us today. And the example I was hoping to use was Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah, as the brothers and sisters may remember, he was part of the group that were brought to Persia in captivity. And he was part of the group that were forced to live away from their homes. And Nehemiah was a very gifted individual and very trustworthy. And the king of Persia took notice of him, and he rose through the ranks so much so that he became the cupbearer to the king. And so when he became the cupbearer to the king, it suggested that whenever food was brought to the king, Nehemiah would eat it first. And if Nehemiah didn't fall over dead, well, then the king wasn't going to be poisoned, and he could eat from that food. But clearly, it was a position of trust. But no matter what, no matter how well Nehemiah did, what we realize about him was his heart was always towards his home. Even though he was in Persia, even though he was serving the king and doing well, his heart was towards home. And it might have been that he sort of fell into a routine of his life. And at some point, his life was shaken up. We all, I think, go through moments like this, where our life becomes predictable and routine. And maybe what ends up happening is the world begins to creep in a little bit. And then something happens to us and shakes us. And we realize that we lost our focus. And this first step is we are lost. If something happens to us where we fell away, or if we were lost. And the examples in Solomon's prayers were we were defeated by our enemies. We had sinned against a brother. And when these things happen to us, well, what do we do? Now, the first step of being lost is not something anyone has to teach us. If we just let go of our hearts, we end up getting lost. And again, it's innate to our flesh. I think of the prodigal son, that he took his father's inheritance and went to a foreign land. And it was just a part of his nature as it is ours. And in his case, as in our case, we have a faithful Lord who never lets go. And so while the prodigal son had wandered away, and while he had wasted his money, and he found himself feeding pigs and longing to eat the food for the pigs, the Lord did something for him as he does for us. And that is that he shone light into his life. And this life, brothers and sisters, was simply meant to shine down and show us where we were. And I know that for many of us, we have memories of times in our life, not just once, but maybe multiple times, when the Lord shone light into our world and we saw that we're not supposed to be here. It's a great grace, because for the prodigal, something else happened. He realized, number one, I'm not supposed to be here. But the second thing that happened when the Lord's light shines on us when we're lost is that we remember who we are. The light has a very special way of shining on those who belong to him. And even though the prodigal had wandered so far, the light reminded him of something. And that is that I am my father's son. And nothing has happened to change that, despite all of the wandering and all of the being lost in the failure. There had not, who he was had not been changed. And so when the light shone on him for a moment, the prodigal remembered that I am my father's son, and my home is where my father is. And so it was with Nehemiah, that Nehemiah was serving in Persia. But when the Jews came, Hanani was his name, and let him know, you know, our home, the gates have fallen, and it's on fire. And that was a moment for Nehemiah to remember that, yes, I have this position in the world, and I have my responsibilities in the world, but my home is not here. And it helped him to remember for just that moment. And the wonder of this light that comes into our life when we are lost. So this first step, being lost and having the Lord's light shine on us. The wonder of it is, number one, it does show us that we have fallen away. But it also, at the same time, reminds us that our home is not here, and that who we are has not changed, that we have a father and we are a child of his house. And so when that happened, the wonderful thing for the prodigal was, and this was step two, is that he turned his heart back towards his home. Now, this is a wonderful thing about turning, because when my daughter, who's a great basketball, I think she's a great basketball player, when she first started playing, if she caught a she was able to grab a rebound underneath the basket, she would immediately throw it up, and of course she would not turn to the basket, she would just throw it up, and I'm pretty sure she never really made it. She never made the shot. So one day I told her, once you get the rebound, take a moment and turn around and look at the basket. Aim your body towards the basket and then shoot. And so it is in our life that sometimes we're wandering around and our attention is all over the place. And then the Lord shines a light into our life, and we realize those two things: where we have fallen and who we are. And then it takes a moment for us that we readjust our heart and we turn our hearts towards home. Now, brothers and sisters, this is an amazing thing that if I look at my plants that I planted, that just having our hearts facing towards home, just the turning of our life so that our heart is looking into the sun. For that moment, there's a restoring work. Just the directionality of our heart is of great importance in our life. And so in the second stage, what Solomon was praying was, and when they have turned their hearts, then, Lord, we are strengthened to pray. Now, when I first thought about the message, I thought that it was that it could be a prayer of coming home, but it could also be called having a North Star, and we think about the navigators on the seas that in the past that they needed to have that direction of knowing where to go. And so for us, brothers and sisters, sometimes we get so lost, but somehow in our hearts, we know where Jesus is. And we have the capability of turning our hearts towards him and letting his countenance and the light of his life shine into our heart. And so I think many of us need this. And I think for sure the world needs it today, that we have that fixed point where we know we can turn back to him. And so this was that second step. And for Solomon, what he prayed was, might everyone turn their hearts back towards this house where you are. Now, in the Old Testament, that was logical. For us today, we know that in heaven, and it was shared this morning, in the throne room, there's an advocate, and he's advocating for us, and he loves us. And so for us today, our true north, or our prayer home, is to turn our hearts back towards the Lord. And then the third thing that was shared is to pray. Now, brothers and sisters, praying is a simple thing in many ways. And I remembered, and maybe my brothers can confirm this, but I remembered when I took my Spanish classes. I took Spanish when I was getting ready to go to medical school. And the reason for this was I knew that I needed to learn how to speak Spanish. So I took a Spanish class, and I learned that there are two ways to call upon someone. There's a familiar way, which is tú, and there's a respectful, formal way, usted. And so when I saw my patients at work, I might say to them in the morning when I see them, you know, buenos dias, señor. Good morning, sir. And I'd ask, how are you today? And they'd say, you know, muy bien, gracias. And they'd ask me, how are you doing? I'd say, muy bien, gracias. And I'd say, y usted, meaning, and how are you doing, sir? You know, it's a way that we confer to someone that respect and formality. But the interesting thing is, in praying to the Lord, the way that we address him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is tú. And it's an amazing thing, because the Lord's heart is not that we would not be familiar with him, or that we would not be separated from him by formality, but his longing for us is to know him in this way that is familiar, even though he is the King of Kings. So when we pray, the familiarity of being able to pray to the King of Kings is mind-boggling. And so what Solomon was suggesting was, when we have turned, hurl our prayer towards home. And and he will hear. Now praying, we pray in our hearts. We pray, sometimes there are different ways of praying. There are prayers that we make that are praise or worship. There are prayers of petition, intercession. And there are formal, there are times when we pray together. And the example that we see in Nehemiah is a very real example. The word had come to him. And Nehemiah in chapter 1 offers this very long prayer. Nehemiah is a really a wonderful book on prayer because it's first person praying. We're reading through Nehemiah, he's saying in first person. So in chapter 1, he prays his prayer to the God of heaven. And then in chapter 2, when the king grants him the chance, he says, Nehemiah, you don't look so good. And he says, and he inquires, what is it you want? And in that moment, the Bible tells us in chapter 2, verse 4, the king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven. And then he responded. So it was an amazing thing because in a moment, in a blink of an eye, he prayed. He couldn't get on his knees, close his eyes, bow his head, and fold his hands together. It was where he was. He may have been holding the cup, ready to do his job. And yet in that moment, he could hurl a prayer to the one who hears. So it was like he could adjust his heart, hurl his prayer to heaven, even though on the outside, he may have looked exactly like he was a moment ago in the responsibility of his life. And so what we learn about is that prayer can be in the moment. It's real and it's living and it's sudden and it's as the need arises. And so for all of us, these steps can happen so fast. We realize where we are. The light shone down on us. We remembered that we have an advocate. And then we turn our heart to him and we hurl our prayer in his direction. And then what happens, which is the fourth step, is then hear. Now, brothers and sisters, when we launch our prayer from our heart to the God of heaven, the Bible tells us he will hear. He hears our prayer. And it's almost like we've launched a cable up and it tethers to his ears and into his heart. And that, of course, for me, as I grew up, the first movies I saw were the Star Wars movies. And I still remember, the example that immediately came to my mind was Luke trying to swing across that chasm in the Death Star. And he throws the stormtroopers are coming in. And he throws his cable up and it loops around and it hooks and he's got a way out. And I think that for us, when we are in trouble and we can launch our prayer to the one who hears, then it connects. And when the Lord hears, then the responsibility is no longer ours. That the burden has been translated to the one who has the power and the authority and the wisdom as to how to deal with what has just come to his ears. And so, brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful thing to be able to hurl our prayers to him and know that he has an ear to hear. And this is, for us, it's like that once he has heard our prayer, then another thing that's amazing happens. Power moves along that tether. That the power of heaven suddenly can come coursing into our situation and our life. And it's like an umbilical cord that life gets translated into our hearts. And the Lord intervenes, and he intervenes with wisdom and with love and with power. And as we mentioned, that the burdens get borne. And then the last portion of the passage is that he acts. And when the Lord acts, he finishes. He's able to do good things. It's in his power to do it. And he has the heart to intervene. And in three of the six, how he acts, one of the things that he does is he maintains their cause. And this is a very interesting passage, brothers and sisters, because as I read it several times, I thought, well, what is this suggesting? And the wonderful thing about for Nehemiah was, even though he had a daily responsibility, which was to serve the cup to the king, this was his job. But his cause was his house, was God's house. And his cause was towards heaven. And so even though today we have responsibilities and at every level of life, but for the people of God, we have a cause. And sometimes we forget it. We're sitting in the pig pen with the prodigal, and we forget that the children of the house have a cause. And so the prayer was, hear our prayer, Lord, and act and maintain our cause. And so, brothers and sisters, in these days when there's so much confusion and difficulty and confusion even about causes, may we remember that the house is in our heart. And as our brother prayed and our brother shared, that this is our meaning and this is our purpose, and that our hearts can be turned towards his house and his kingdom and for its increase. And that in these days with all these difficulties, that the Lord might maintain our cause, and that we could go on. So brothers and sisters, this is all I had prepared. It was this prayer of Solomon's embodied in the life of Nehemiah. And actually Nehemiah has many more prayers in his in the book. And it's so lovely to read them. Prayers in first person. But what we see here is these five steps. And they are, again, that when we're lost, that the light shines into our life. And then we turn again. And then we hurl our prayer towards the one who hears. And our prayer connects to his ear and his heart. And then he's heard our prayers. And then the King of Heaven will act for good. And he will act such that his people will maintain his cause. And so just a reminder to us that we have a prayer towards home, and that the Lord may give us reminders and opportunities to hurl our prayers towards home. So let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning that we have together. And Lord, remind us that we have a home and that we have a position. And Lord, that our positioning in you comes with a wonderful cause. So Lord, in these days, please maintain our cause and give us encouragement in our heart to follow after you. Lord, we thank you that you don't let go, and that you are a God of glory, and you have a God who hears. So Lord, we thank you that we can be aligned with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Could we have just a few other prayers just to close our time?
Lord, this morning at your table, we were reminded that you have given us a place, and there may be, we may feel like we don't have a place in many, many areas, but Lord, we want to thank you for this position that David is speaking of, that we have.
Yes.
Amen. Lord, thank you that you've done this for us. And Lord, help us to stand firmly in what you've done and to so freely point to you, our advocate.
Yes, Lord. Amen. And Lord, we thank you for the marvelous provision of your word. For as long as you will tarry your coming, you have provided already before we asked and called upon you, you have answered. And once again, you have instructed us and shown us from your word that provision for the hour and day in which we live. We thank you so much for these precious words, instructions. Lord, we pray we will leave this place together and be reminded and encouraged that you are the great God who sits above the heavens. You are the great God who does always right. And we thank you. You are our Heavenly Father. So, Lord, thank you again for the provision of your word and the preparation of our heart to hear and to go and do. Lord, we want to not be hearers only. We want to be doers.
Yeah.
We thank you for your word. We thank you for our fellowship. We thank you for every provision, even before the stars were, the earth was, before we existed. You provided for us in your blessed Son. We thank you. We praise you. In his precious name, amen.
I'm going to pray in Spanish.
Sí.
Okay. Oh, gracias, Padre Celestial, por esta reunión. Gracias porque nos has hablado, porque nos dices que nos amas. Y gracias porque usas la vida de cada uno de mis hermanos. En esta día, Padre, te amamos y te bendecimos. Bendice esta reunión, bendice la vida de mis hermanos. Bendice sus hogares, sus familias. Gracias porque nos hablas de la oración, de regresar y volver nuestros ojos hacia ti, nuestro corazón. Te pido que tu Espíritu Santo, Señor, nos abrace, nos dé nuevas fuerzas. Y gracias por esta hermosa palabra que nos has dado en esta mañana, Padre. Te amamos y toma el control de todas nuestras vidas y de todo el mundo entero. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.
Sí.
Amen.
Okay. Lord, we thank you that one of the things you accomplished at Calvary was you rent the veil in two. And Lord, we not only have access here in your throne room to praise you and worship you, but to bring supplication to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for prayer. Thank you for the power of prayer. Lord, help us to avail ourselves of this wonderful power and this wonderful opportunity to be intercessors in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for this word from your brother, Lord. Let it find a place in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.